Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Wright with Marriage Missions International. And on this week's Marriage Insight podcast, we want to share with you the importance of picking your marital fruit.
Now, we've been thinking a lot about fruit this week, in particular marital fruit. This past week, God brought to the forefront of our minds the importance of walking in the fruit of His Spirit. We're watching buds and blooms physically popping out everywhere around us here in the desert southwest where we live, and we absolutely love it. But it's even more thrilling to see the fruit of God's Spirit being shown within marriages. We've been seeing some of that going on this past week, too, as we've been with different couples. And we have to say that it doesn't get much sweeter than that. Now, we confess that we have written on this issue of marital fruit a number of years ago. It's titled, How's Your Fruit? And we have a link to it within this Marriage Insight because it has different information than we're going to give you this time. But God laid it upon our hearts again to cover this further. So that's what we're going to be doing. In light of this, we have a question, a few thoughts, and then a challenge for you. Now here's the question. Is it your heart's desire to keep in step with God and be a Spirit-led spouse? We want you to really carefully consider this question. It concerns marital fruit, and that's what we've been doing.
We're told in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 to keep in step with the Spirit of God, because God tells us to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to. As you read further in Galatians 5, God first points out the works of the flesh that are evident. The list is long, and frankly, after reading them, you might want to take a shower because they are pretty raunchy. But they are important to read because God gives them to us as a warning in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. However, in this Marriage Insight, we want to land on the next few verses of Galatians 5. That's where God wants us to live. We're told in Galatians 5, 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God points out that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So again, our question is, do you want to keep in step with God as a Spirit-led spouse? This is an inward, reflective question. It's a personal walk that you and God take together. If your spouse wants to join the challenge too, great. But both of you are to look to God concerning your own walks. Our challenge concerns picking the marital fruit that you are personally finding it difficult to live out within your marriage. It could change at different times, depending upon the various circumstances you face. But we encourage you to write or type out Galatians 5, 22 and 23 on a card to display. Then post these fruits of God's Spirit in one or more places where you'll see them every day. Ask God to help you to continually walk in His Spirit inside your home and outside of it. And if you fall, confess, then get back up and get back into step with the Spirit once again. It's okay if others see your cards. In fact, it might open up some good discussions. You can even ask someone to keep you accountable. And who knows where God will take it. But the main point is to participate with God in showing forth His fruit. We hope that you'll take hold of this challenge and run with it. There's no doubt that this can improve your marriage and your spiritual walk with God.
Now, the following is our approach to picking marital fruit. This is how we're handling this challenge, so you kind of get a peek into our lives. First, we talked about the spiritual issue during one of our couple time talks. Steve and I just go off to the side and talk to each other. And during that time, we looked closely at those scriptures in Galatians 5, and then we agreed to prayerfully consider the marital fruit that we should personally highlight to work on with God. I work on my part and Steve works on his part, the fruits that we personally think that God would have us start working on. Also, we have it posted on our refrigerator now so that we'll both be reminded of the spiritual marital challenge. It's a good reminder, not only now, but in the future, to have the fruits of the Spirit there. So the following is how we are personally handling the challenge, and I'm going to tell you my part first. So after examining and praying about the fruit of the Spirit, I believe the fruit of self-control is what is especially challenging to me sometimes. Sometimes it's other fruit, and I need to work on that during other times. But all in all, for the most part, it's the spirit of self-control. Because I can let my mind go into places that it shouldn't go. It can kind of go down into these rabbit trails where I think of this and this, and I kind of project things on Steve. And when I feed these thoughts that I shouldn't, my mood and my actions can go in negative directions. Of course, that's not good for our marital relationship, and I realize that. And God just really brought it out to me that I need to fine-tune this area of fruit of the Spirit. It will always be a challenge, but it is something that I really need to work on. I can't be projecting in my mind what Steve is or isn't thinking. You know, sometimes as women, a man can do it too, but sometimes as women, we think, I know he's thinking that, or he's doing that for this reason, he's doing that for that reason. He may not be thinking any of that at all. As a matter of fact, I find out lots of times he isn't thinking that at all. Or he may not have a hurtful motive going on behind what he's saying or doing. And I may think he does. That's projecting on him. That, again, is going and letting my mind go into a place that it really shouldn't go. I need to give him the benefit of the doubt. And if I question his motives or his actions, I need to ask him. Steve's a good guy, and he's shown himself over all of these years of marriage that he can be trusted. And he will tell me the truth, so I shouldn't go down on those bunny trails of projecting those thoughts on him. I need to have more self-control. And if there's something that is troubling that's going on, we need to deal with it together. It's important that I control my thoughts so that I don't cause Steve and our relationship more trouble than I should. So after praying about this, I wrote out a few things that I'm going to work on doing. Somehow putting it on a card or whatever and writing it out helps to cement it a little bit better. First, I've written down that I'm going to cut my thoughts off when they go in unhealthy directions. And I know I can do that. I've done it before. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go down there. I've learned to stop at that point, and so I need to make sure that I'm faithful in doing that. I'm also going to more readily listen to the Holy Spirit when He prompts me to stop. God often says, stop, don't go there, and I need to make sure that I obey Him. Sometimes I listen to His promptings, and other times I don't, and I keep going down unhealthy imagination paths, and we can all do that sometimes. We're told in the Bible to cast out harmful imaginations, and sometimes God reminds me of those particular verses. In the New American Standard Version of the Bible, we're told, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that means throwing out the garbage when we need to throw it out. And that should be my goal as well. Additionally, I've learned that when you take something negative away, it's wise to put something good in its place. For some reason, when you take something negative away, other things keep trying to shove at it unless you have something intentional to put in its place. So I'm going to do something that I've done in the past, and God reminded me of this area of self-control again. I'm going to apply Philippians 4, 8 through 9. We actually have those verses written out in a watercolor in our living room. But in those scriptures, we're told whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace shall be with you. So here it is. I'll push out the unhealthy thoughts. I'll replace them with more positive thoughts and actions. And if I need to ask Steve more questions, I will. And if this brings up problems that we need to deal with, then that's what we need to do, because this is an important part of our marriage. All of this will take more self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. And my prayer is, may it be so, Lord. May it be so.
As Cindy was writing out this marriage insight, and we were both looking at these verses, and praying about what part of the verse really applies to me at this point. So as I read and prayed through all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control is also the one that jumps out at me as what God wants me to work on. Or actually, I should say, I need to continue to work on. A lack of self-control is what got me in so much trouble when I was younger. I had a serious porn addiction. But even after God healed me of that, the enemy of our faith has never stopped trying to draw me back. To help me maintain my purity and self-control, I cling to Psalm 101, verse 3. It states very simply, I will set before my eyes no vile thing. In fact, I have posted that scripture verse in front of every television set that we have in the house because it serves as the reminder of what I am watching. I need to make sure that I do not let anything come into my eye gate that would not be pleasing to God or it would be dishonoring to Cindy. And I acknowledge, too, that I could fall at any time. And for this reason, I can't take anything for granted. So self-control is the marital fruit that I will continue to work on with God. Additionally, another self-control issue that I need to continually work on is spending time in the Bible consistently. I know I should be in God's Word every day, but sometimes I get caught up in busyness. And King David gave us the best reason to be consistent in our reading and applying God's Word when he said, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Whenever I get distant, defensive, dismissive, or angry over little things, Cindy will usually make the observation that I haven't been spending time in the Bible. And she's right. When I'm not consistently feeding on God's Word, my starved condition comes out in negative ways. But when I get back into the Word, God helps me make the course corrections needed to bless and strengthen our marriage. So I am now all the more focusing on the fruit of the Spirit concerning this aspect of self-control. To do this work for me, I am now placing my Bible on top of my computer before I go to bed. This reminds me that my quiet time with God is my first priority when I get up in the morning. Also, I'm getting up earlier to make sure I'm not just rushing through this to get it done. I'm aware that continually feeding upon God's Word helps me and ultimately helps me to be the better marriage partner.
It helps all of us. But what about you? What is the marital fruit that you need to work on with God? Do you want to keep in step with the Spirit in your marriage? Examine the healthiness of the fruit that you bring into your marriage. Is it lacking in some way? Again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does any of that jump out to you that you need to work on it? It goes on in that verse to say, those who belong in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. So examine the healthiness of the fruit that you bring in your marriage. Again, is it lacking in some way? And if it is, we hope you'll join us in this challenge. We hope and pray you will.
And those are our thoughts for you on this week's Marriage Insight. If you want a bit more information on this issue, we have a link to an additional article provided after the insight titled The Fruit of the Spirit, The First Steps to an Enduring Marriage. It's a good one that we can encourage you all to read. Simply go to our website at marriagemissions.com. Also, we give a lot of personal stories, practical tips, and more marital advice in our book, 7 Essentials to Grow Your Marriage. We hope you might want to pick up a copy for yourself. It's available both electronically and in print form. Plus, it can make a great gift for someone else. It gives you the opportunity to invest in their marriage, and who doesn't need that? Just click onto the link title or the picture of our book on the homepage of the website or within the Marriage Insight. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to being back with you next week for the Marriage Insight podcast.